Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Thank you, Dave. We're going to talk to Dr. Judy Ho, clinical and forensic neuropsychologist, host of the Supercharged Life podcast, about parents and the best way to discipline your kids and relationships between grown kids and grown parents and working all of that out, because we always are concerned about mental health. But first, we're going to talk to Margaret Ether, who joins us now, an advocate recruiter for CASA Jefferson. We like to have her on every now and then because it's the best way to advocate for abused and neglected children, and we want to get all the details. Good morning, Margaret. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Is there ever a time where you don't need volunteers?
Not since I've been here, and I've been here 9 years, and it's always a need for volunteers. Yes, we need volunteers.
Tell me about the program.
CASAs are court-appointed special advocates for children that's in foster care that's been taken from their parents due to abuse and neglect and are now in foster care. We've been around a long time. CASA Jefferson is one of the bigger things in the community where we try to get volunteers to help with our children. Our children need our help. These are not my children. These are our children, and we need your help.
What kind of help do you need?
Okay, a volunteer has to be 21 years or older. You don't put children in your car. You don't bring them to your house. You don't take care of them. But so you're the eyes, ears, and voice for that child to make a difference, to let that child know what happened at home wasn't their fault. And you're there to help them to be a better person for the community, to see that your life can go in a different direction and that you are valuable to all of us. And you help make a difference. So volunteers are very essential for CASA, very essential for our community and our neighborhoods. So we need your help. As I said, you don't put children in your car. You don't bring them to your house. You don't take care of them. You don't even spend your money on CASA Jefferson children. We need you, the person, to make a difference and help with our children.
So I'm sorry. Go ahead, please.
There's a class starting in July. I'm looking to put 15 people in the classroom. You're trained. You're given directions. You know your boundaries. You do have to attend court observation while you're in class. You're trained how to facilitate and help a child to understand that you're there for them.
When it comes to looking at it the other way, Margaret, if I'm a child that's in the court system, tell me what it is like for the average child, that what they're up against if they need a CASA advocate, a court-appointed special advocate from Jefferson?
Well, when a child is abused and neglected at home, a child believes it's their fault. As a volunteer, you will help that child to understand it's not your fault. Children didn't sign up for the abuse and neglect that they're experiencing at home. They're taken from their parents. They're put in the foster care system. Foster parents are there to help them to recover from what's going on. But the volunteer is that person that's dependable, that person that the child can trust, that person that's going to make that phone call, one or two phone calls per week. You have to make that home visit to make sure that your child has a decent place to sleep, getting provided, and all of that child's basic needs are being met while in foster care. So a volunteer is essential. They make a monumental difference in a child's life. And there are only three juvenile justices. So the court system need a volunteer to make sure that that child is okay while in foster care.
So that's interesting because I think when people hear court-appointed special advocate, they think it has only to do with legal proceedings. But in fact, this child's been taken out of the home, put in foster care. Somebody has to keep an eye on that child and make sure that they're getting what they need in foster care and everywhere else, doing what they're supposed to be doing in school. And that's what a CASA volunteer does?
That's right. That's what a volunteer does. A volunteer makes sure that all of that child's basic needs are being met while in foster care. When you finish the class, it's a 7-chapter class. It's here at our office in the evening time from 5:30 to 8. You're supervised. You're assigned to an advocate coordinator. The myth is you walk this by yourself. You do not walk this by yourself. There's coaching sessions with your advocate coordinator to make sure whatever problems you're having, they work it out. Our executive director, Wendy McGee, she's there with the volunteers. She's there with the advocate coordinators. She's there to help us do what we need to do to make sure that children are properly cared for and the volunteer doesn't get stressed out, because it can get stressful. So you have two people that's there for you. You have the advocate coordinator and the executive director that walks with you, and the other people that are there with our volunteers are the court judges. The judges really, really appreciate everyone who volunteers to help with our children. I got 30 plus children on the list. I need your help now.
I got a text that comes in here from somebody saying it sounds like more of a job for a social worker. What would you say to that?
It's not a job for a social worker. It's a job for somebody. See, my thing is, somebody made a difference in your life. Why can't you make a difference in one of these children's lives? That's our children. You're substantial in what you do. You learn how to help a child to feel good about themselves and be better children for adults, for the society. And I need you, because like I said, everybody that has prominence, somebody through your lifetime made a difference in your life, or you wouldn't be where you are today. You're a radio announcer. Guess what? Somewhere down the line, somebody said to you, don't go that direction. Let me show you which way to go. And it made you a better person for the society and a better man because somebody cares.
Margaret,
and that's all I'm asking. Somebody to step up and say.
Let me tell you one thing I often say. I think the biggest myth that people tell themselves is that they're self-made people. None of us are self-made. We all got a break a break there. We got guidance there, something to defer, to get you off of the bad road and get you on the right road that we just kind of ignore and tend to give all the credit to ourselves. What kind of time commitment are you overall? Are you like committing to for say one child, or how many children are you going to have? Just one? If you're
one advocate, one child. It's the commitment is completing a case. All we're asking is that when you start with this child, I know situation happens and things happen in your life. If you're going to start with this child, fight it through. Be there with that child so that child will have your support, knowing that you're there for them. I ask that you finish the case. On the application, it says 2 years. Cases normally don't last past 2 years, but it's always that possibility. As I said before, you don't put children in your car. You don't bring them to your house. You don't take care of them. You don't even use your money. We need your eyes, ears, and voice for this child to make a difference in this child's life. Casa Jefferson, www.casajefferson.org. Our number is 504-533-8757. I'm Margaret Ether, the advocate recruiter. Come on, y'all, help us out. We need y'all.
And you said now, you have to be at least 21, but is there an upper age limit or not?
No. I have a lady that's 69, almost 70. That's going to be in the next class. She's viable. She still drives. We need people to just want to make a difference and help us with our children. But you got to be 21 years of age to start off with.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, you're asking, Margaret, is for people, if you do think that this is for you, if you do think that you can stick with it, at least take the training, correct?
Yes. Finish the training. I know this is not for everybody. I know that. If you want to make a donation, that's fine. But we need bodies to help with bodies, especially our children. We watch TV. We see all this stuff going on. And look inside yourself. Examine yourself. What is my purpose in life? How do I help? We have a lot of people volunteer at a lot of places, but you're dealing with lives, and we have to make a difference in our children's lives. We really do.
Thank you, Margaret. Contact information one more time before we let you go.
504-533-8757 is the number here at the office, www.costajefferson.org. Go online, look us up, read about us, but I need your help. Thank you.
You bet. Thank you. Thank you. You'll make a difference in the world. That'd be a good word to make a first step. We'll take a break, come back, talk to Judy Ho, our friend, Dr. Judy Ho, clinical forensic neuropsychologist, host of the Supercharged Life podcast. I'd like to hear from you on the Oquinar Jeweler Talk and Text line, 504-260-1870. Please do not ever text and drive. If you're a grown-up child, how's your relationship with your parents, who I presume are grown-up because that's normally the way it works? Or if you're a parent, how's your relationship with your grown-up child? I think I said that the other way around, yeah. And also, when it comes to raising your kids, are you doing it the way your parents did, if your children are, in fact, children, or are you doing it your own way? We'll talk about all that when we come back on WWL. It is 9:26 now on this Tuesday morning. Every other Tuesday, we're concerned with mental health every day, but every other Tuesday, we talk to Dr. Judy Ho, clinical forensic neuropsychologist, host of the Supercharged Life podcast, author of several books. Today, we're going to talk about parenting between ways to discipline your kids. What did your parents do? We'll also talk about an email I received from somebody about a relationship with an adult child. And I asked y'all to text in about your relationship if you are a parent with your grown child or a grown child with your parent. Somebody texted in and said, I talk to my son every day. He either calls me or I call him. We have a wonderful relationship. I love his wife like my own daughter. We get together just about every week. I love him. Good for them. Congratulations. Sometimes it doesn't work out that well. Good morning, Dr. Judy. How are you?
Good morning, Tommy. How are you today?
I am okay. The email I got was from somebody that said they got a, and this is sad, I'm not laughing about it, but it's just that they got a text for their Father's Day gift. They got a letter from their adult child telling them what a terrible father they'd been throughout their life, an 8-page letter, and they don't know how to deal with that. And they found it particularly tough coming on Father's Day. And I'm not laughing at the fact that it was on Father's Day, but I'm just thinking, wow, well, that's a touch right there that you don't think of often on Father's Day. But anyway, go ahead. Talk about that.
Yeah. Well, it's very interesting. I mean, to me, it sounds like, without knowing more about the situation, that this adult child probably has been holding resentment every single Father's Day, not actually wanting to celebrate, thinking how terrible the father was. And of course, it's all perception, right? I mean, I understand that everyone's reality might be different, and it sounds like this father is pretty surprised. So who knows? But, you know, no matter what the case is, it kind of feels like he wanted to hit him in the jugular with this news. Like, hey, for this Father's Day, I'm going to tell you exactly what a terrible father you've been and why I've resented celebrating you every single year on this day. I mean, that's sad. I don't know how that's supposed to start off a pathway for healing when it's done on such a day that can be especially hurtful. But I don't know. Maybe it can help open conversation. I get it. You know, sometimes as adults, we think back to our childhood or certain times, and maybe we start to have different ideas about what it was like. And you know, we're entitled to that, but also we all only have so much time. So maybe try to use it wisely. And if you do want to have a relationship with your father, and that's why you wrote this letter, maybe extend an olive branch another way.
And I'm no Judy Ho, and I'm not laughing at this at all because it's tragic. The only thing that made me kind of smirk was that this is not a coincidence. This can't be this.
Of course not.
Whoever wrote that letter can't think that, oh, wait, oh, by the way, it's Father's Day as well. This had to have been done intentionally, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's what I mean by like really wanting to hurt him, you know. And so I don't know if the purpose was just to get something off your chest, fine. But if your purpose is actually to say, hey, I want change in our relationship, I want us to have a better relationship, and that's why I'm writing this letter, then that probably wasn't the best move.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what are some of the keys before we get to adults and young children? What are some of the keys to grown parents? Well, obviously, the parents are grown, you would hope, having successful relationships with grown children and grown children having successful relationships with their parents.
I guess I would say that it's important to know that every stage of your child's life, and now adult child,
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's going to change your relationship as well. I think that sometimes in parental roles, probably people get a little locked into, well, this is how it is, or, well, you're supposed to listen to what I say because obviously I'm your mom. But it kind of feels like sometimes when people don't open their minds to, oh, maybe this is a different phase and they need me in a different way, or we're going to interact in a different way, it causes grief for everybody. So what I mean by that is, obviously in early adulthood, many adult children are going to drift a little bit from their family, not in a bad way, but, you know, they're just out there discovering their life. Maybe they're going to college, starting their first job, and they're just doing more things on their own. They're not calling as much. They're not visiting as much. And I feel like that's usually a pain point for a lot of parents, like, oh my gosh, you know, my kid doesn't even care about me or want me anymore. But I think if you did your job right, that's what they're supposed to do.
So when it comes to the dynamic of, and somebody texted this in, which is, I wish I could take it as my own, but it's not. Basically, they're saying that they try to go back to when their child was young, but they're not the same people that they were when their child was young. And their child is certainly not the same person when that they were when their child was young, so that there is this constant right. evolution that goes on, right?
Yes, exactly. I mean, there's a constant evolution, not only to parenting, but obviously to life, to your own management of your life, your friendships, your hobbies, how much time you're spending doing certain things like working or when you retire. So I feel like that's a constant. But maybe for some people, when you're looking at your children, they're also serving. Obviously, you're there to help them thrive and grow, but also maybe they're serving as a type of security for you and a type of coping for you. And so, of course, you're going to have certain feelings when you feel like your role is changing and that maybe they don't need you as much, or maybe right now they're going through a period where they're just rebelling against you, whether as an adult or as a teen. But that doesn't mean that it's not going to come back around and evolve again. You know, it's never permanent. That's kind of what I think. And I've heard lots of people I've worked with, my friends, colleagues, et cetera, never going to talk to my mom again or my dad again. And it's like, yeah, well, you're not talking to them right now, but you might decide you want to a few months down the line. And you know what? Most of the times people do. Like, they get estranged maybe for some reason, and then they bring it back together again. And sometimes it's better that they had that moment apart and their relationship is stronger now.
Somebody texted in and said, my grown child texts me every couple of weeks to see how I'm doing. And I don't want to always be the bearer of bad news because I'm not doing very well. But then I don't want to lie to them either. So how do you settle that?
Well, I understand that. And sometimes it might even feel embarrassing to say you're not doing well, or you don't want to put that burden on your children. And that's very heroic. However, I think your child is texting or calling, checking in because they really want to, and they actually want to hear what's going on. You know how sometimes you're like walking down the hall and somebody says, hey, how are you? And you know that they really don't want to hear it. They're just saying that. And you're supposed to just say, fine, and just like move on. But I think there's other moments where people really want to hear what's going on in your life, and they don't want to just hear like, yeah, everything's fine, everything's great. So I think it's okay to maybe open up just a little bit. You don't have to, you know, let the floodgates in or anything, but you can just open up and say a little bit of like, hey, you know what? I'm kind of struggling right now to tell you the truth, but I'm glad you called. Mm-hmm. And I'm not really wanting to talk about the details right now, but I just want to let you know that, you know, I'm not doing the best, but I always love hearing from you. I think that would mean a lot to your child, just to know that you're being honest with them.
All right. Somebody else texted in and said they're a parent. They don't know how involved to get with their child's life, who is in the 30s. And apparently it's a long text with something about buying a house and renting or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I think that you would hope that that your kids are still coming to you for advice. But I think that as they get older, they're probably going to want to start to do some things on their own and have their own decisions. And I think that's okay. I really think that's okay. So I think you can offer to help. Like, do you want my opinion? Do you want my advice? If you don't, fine. But if you do, great, I'm here. I'm happy to roll up my sleeves and help you. I think that the best thing that parents can do is just offer the support. And then if your kids want it, they'll let you know for sure. They will.
All right, let me take a break. 9:34, 26 till 10, talking to our friend Dr. Judy Ho, clinical forensic neuropsychologist, host of the Supercharged Life podcast about parent and grown child relationships. We'll also talk about parent and child relationships when we come back. 504-260-187. If you have any questions or comments, that's the Oquinar Jeweler Talk and Text Line. Please do not dare ever text and drive. Back in a flash, WWL traffic now, I think, right? All right, 9:41, 19 till 10. Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Dr. Judy Ho, clinical forensic neuropsychologist, host of the Supercharged Life podcast, author of several books. Dr. Judy, I lied. I said one text popped up.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I couldn't wait to tell you. There are actually two of them that popped up. But first things first, somebody texted and said, how do we tell our parents that we don't want kids?
Oh, wow. Interesting. Yeah, I know. People oftentimes there's sort of like a trajectory that we think our kids are going to take, and maybe they take a different one. And all of a sudden you have to regroup and manage that. And so I'm guessing that this listener has already gotten some pressure from their parents, so they kind of know that that's where they're hoping for them to go. I think that it's not going to be one conversation. I think it's really just introducing that idea, saying that this is what you've decided with your spouse or your partner, and basically acknowledging that maybe they have some feelings, maybe they might be disappointed about this, but that you guys are sure, you guys have thought a lot about it, and this is your decision. I mean, I think that sometimes parents might try to convince them, oh, you don't know, like having kids is so amazing. How do you blah, 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 blah. But, you know, if you've already made up your mind and you're pretty sure about it, doesn't mean you can't change your mind later, but this is not really on the table. I think it is important to tell them that directly, but expect that it's going to keep coming up. You know, expect that they might ask you a question again or say, well, have you changed your mind? And I think it's just about being firm with them and realizing where it comes from, that it's usually from a place of good intention as opposed to them just trying to annoy you and pester you and try to fix you into a life that you don't want for yourself.
Well, you know what? I'm going to put off the other text because a third one popped up just now and says, those people are lucky. We're trying to decide whether or not we want kids. So I don't know how, from a clinical psychologist, neuropsychologist standpoint, you approach that, because people that have kids, how can I phrase this? How do I tell people this all the time? People that don't have kids miss a lot. People that don't have kids miss a lot. So you can look at it negatively or positively, right? So how do people go about discerning whether or not they want to be parents or could be parents from the, I know they got a religious standpoint to this, they got a spiritual standpoint to this, but from the neuropsychologist standpoint, what would you tell somebody?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. I think that for everybody, it's different. I mean, some people will, if they feel like the methodical type, they might want to sit down and write a pros and cons list. If they're spiritual, they might want to pray about it. It's obviously a big decision, so it's great that they're really contemplating it seriously as opposed to just doing anything on a whim. But I also think that, you know,
yes, a whim is never good. A whim is never good, especially when it comes to kids.
Not with children.
No,
yeah.
Not a whim. No,
but
no,
I feel
no.
Like
buying a car is not
like
good on
change.
A whim. Buying a car
right.
is not good on a whim. Getting a puppy is not good on a whim. Why in the hell would you have a kid on a whim? Go ahead, Dr. Judy.
Certainly not. Yeah, or not as a way to try to fix your relationship, or to try to like fix a hole in your life somehow. Or like, hey, I don't have a great hobby right now. I might have a time for a kid then. So I think it does take time to like deeply explore what you think you want your life to be about, and what, you know, why you're really having a child. I mean, for the longest time, I didn't really think I wanted to have a child, Tommy. Like, I either wasn't sure, or I didn't feel like I wanted or needed to. And then it was kind of a gradual process for me of discernment. It didn't happen overnight, but I just started to feel like, oh, I would really like to try. I mean, it doesn't mean that you're going to have one just because you decided to have one, but I was like, I'd like to try to have one. But that took a long time. Mm-hmm. That took a long time, and it kind of went back and forth a little bit. And now, of course, I can't imagine my life without Luca. Like, I'm so glad that I finally came around to this decision, but everybody's decision is different. I have also friends who discerned for a long time, and now they don't have children, and they're very happy with that decision. So I think be gentle with yourself, really explore the true reasons why you're having your child, and just make sure that you're not doing it to fix something or to fill a hole in your life that you think otherwise wouldn't be there if you were to have children.
Somebody texted in and said they don't approve of the way their married kids are running their lives financially. They don't want to get involved, but they're terrified that they're going to have to bail the kids out if they get in trouble, and that's going to affect what they've worked so hard to achieve. Thoughts on that, Dr. Judy?
Yeah, it's so hard because obviously your kids are going to make their own decisions, and sometimes they might mess things up or take things out of your plan. All you can do is try your best to educate them, to give them perspective, to let them know that you're available for guidance, and not necessarily to completely rescue them or to take over, because they're not going to allow you to do that anyway, especially as they get older. But I think it's just important to still stay connected. You know, sometimes I think people go through phases where they're just like, well, okay, fine, they don't need me, they don't want to talk to me. But then there's all this resentment about the bad decisions they're making. It's like, well, as a parent, you're always going to be a parent, even when they're an adult. So it is still, I believe that the onus is more so on the parent when they think that their adult child might be making some bad decisions or going awry, that just check in with them and say, hey, let's get together. And it's not just about like lecturing their ear off, but it's more like, hey, I see this is going on and I just wanted to offer my perspective, you know, take it or leave it, but I wanted to make sure I communicated it. I think that that's important.
Yeah, I can identify with that in a way, because you're concerned with your adult child, and mine's, you know, not in any kind of financial trouble or anything like that, but you do know that you're going to be there to bail them out, whether it's any type of problem that they get into, and you are working hard to take care of yourself and hopefully leave them something. So you do want to get involved to keep from making the big mistake, but yet they got to live their lives as well, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And I think that you have to trust that you've laid the groundwork that, you know, if they do make a mistake, one, that they will hopefully eventually bounce back. And two, they'll know where to go to for help, that they'll come back to you and say, hey, kind of screwed up here. Mm-hmm. And it's not about them coming back just to ask for money or just to, you know, but it's more just about the fact that they know that you're still there, that they can lean on you. And that they can be honest with you, because it's very shameful too, right? To have to go back to your parent and say, oh man, like I really messed up and now I might need to borrow money, et cetera. But at the same time, if they feel comfortable coming to you, you know, within limits, it's not about just giving them all your money, but it's more like, okay, well, now we can have a conversation. Now we can have a dialogue about it. So there's always teaching moments that are available, and hopefully the next time around, they'll make a better decision.
Somebody texted and said they feel they were too soft on their adult children. Because now, they were too soft on their adult children, because mm-hmm. now the child seems to need help with everything and has a hard time standing on their own, and they're wondering about weaning off of cell phone and cable and paying these bills and those bills and the other bills.
Yeah, it's hard. I think that we want to protect our kids from pain. But there's a point where maybe they're kind of taking advantage, even subconsciously, and they are being too dependent. And maybe you're thinking, oh man, I wish I taught them this a little earlier, and now we're kind of set a precedent. But you can always change. It's just that they're going to fight it probably a little bit. They're going to not be used to it when all of a sudden you're not paying all of these different bills. And you can do it gradually, but you have to be firm about it, because ultimately that's the most important thing. Like, you're not going to be around forever. You want them to have these adult skills that they then pass on to their children, right? And to the next generation, or to whoever they're in relationship with. And so I think sometimes it can be quite painful in the beginning when you're trying to assert new boundaries, especially after a long period of being maybe more lenient. But at the end of the day, it's much better for their development.
Somebody texted this in. We're getting some good texts today. This one says, I understand that, but my child is only going to be 30 once, and I don't want them to have to struggle like I did. But I think, Dr. Judy, and it's just me saying this, you can say what you want, but I think there's something to be said for going through the struggle, right? Maybe?
Well, I agree with you, and I understand that feeling, too. And I think that that's part of what produces children who become more dependent on their parents. Not on purpose, because it's a loving thing. You don't want your kids to struggle. So you're like, let me provide for them. But then they do become ultra dependent, and they can't stand on their own two feet as much. And so there has to be somewhat of a balance. I hear this more and more, actually, with this generation, because the previous generation did go through some pretty hard times, and now their child, they don't want their child to suffer, but then their child can't, you know, pay the bills, can't keep a bank account, can't hold a job, because they know that security is always going to be there. Mm-hmm. And so I think that the balance is sort of like, yeah, of course, like, pursue what you want. Like, you have the ability to do that now. Like, we have to just take whatever job we got. Like, you have the possibility to follow your dream. However, you still have to be disciplined about it, and you have to stick with something, even if it doesn't feel great for the first few months, because it doesn't always feel great. It's still called a job, you know? So I think it's those types of things where you have to find that balance. And it's like, well, what is struggle really? And also, struggle builds resilience, right? And you want them to have those resiliency skills, because we're all going to struggle. We're all going to stress. That's just part of the human experience. You can't shield your kid from every single one of those stressors. You can only teach them how to cope when stressors come up.
You know, I always tell people, and I'm not ancient or anything, but I tell people that are in their 20s, it's like it's a balance when it comes to bucket list items and those kind of things, because life is a struggle. And by the time you get yourself established, sometimes you might be too old to do those bucket list items, or too established in a job to take off and go do whatever it is you wanted to do. But I would think that's something that is not just this generation. I would think that's something that generations have been going through forever almost, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I feel like history, it clearly always repeats itself. And so it's like, okay, you're going to struggle, then you're not going to struggle. There's going to be a period where things are relatively easier, then you're going to struggle again. And the struggles can be different each time. It might be a financial struggle, then a relationship struggle, then an identity struggle. I mean, it's just part of living. But at the same time, you're also maybe, this is a perspective, you're maybe taking away that great feeling from your child if they are able to overcome something mostly on their own. I mean, I know that when I've struggled and I've overcome it, it means a lot more if I feel like I had something to do with overcoming it. Doesn't mean that I did it all by myself, but it's more like, oh, something I did made the situation better. And that's that kind of confidence only comes from experience.
Yeah, because you know you'll be able to do it next time. Thank you, Dr. Judy. Appreciate it as always. Dr. Judy Ho, clinical forensic neuropsychologist, host of the Supercharged Life podcast. Couple of quick texts, Doc hit a chord. My 36-year-old single mom daughter tells me I lecture her too much. Somebody else said, is this somewhat of a poor man's subject? I feel like rich people can give their children money for life and no one thinks about it. Somebody else texted and said, give enough to do something, but not enough to do nothing. We'll find out what Noel's got planned for us when we come back here on WWL.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.